Religion has many victims, and these are the stories of how they survived. Hey, friends, and welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Heather.
And I'm Tamara. We're so glad to have you here with us this week.
Today's episode is one we've been really excited to share. Around here, we talk a lot about what it means to step out of rigid, controlling faith spaces and find your way back to yourself. And our guest today embodies that journey in such a powerful way.
Yeah, Brooklyn grew up deeply immersed in evangelical Christianity, the kind of environment where everything is prescribed for you, your beliefs, your behaviors, even the way you see the world.
But questions have a way of finding us. And once Brooklyn started thinking of them, her whole world began to shift.
Those questions eventually led her to a completely different spiritual path. Today, she is practicing Wiccan, who leads her own coven. She's reclaimed her autonomy, her power, and her sense of community.
And that's why we wanted her on the show today. Not to sensationalize her story or debate theology, but to explore what it looks like when someone follows their inner truth, even when it takes them far from the faith of their childhood.
Her journey is honest, brave, deeply human. Whether you're deconstructing, redefining your spirituality, or just listening with curiosity, this conversation is absolutely for you.
So grab your coffee, take a breath, and join us for this incredible conversation with Brooklyn. And I'm just going to say to all of our listeners out there, I am so excited to have Brooklyn on the show because she's like an adopted daughter to me. And I have been there with her along the whole process of her deconstruction journey. So welcome into the show, Brookie. I'm so glad to have you here today.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
So I know that you grew up in the evangelical church. So would you kind of share with us, you know, what your upbringing and background was like and what that looked like for you being raised up in the church?
Yeah. So obviously, Heather and I went to church for years together in a very evangelical, Pentecostal type church. And it was very strict, very controlling, just very intense environment growing up in. It's like everything you did was constantly being watched, constantly being judged, told how to move, how to live outside of the church. I mean, we were there. My family was there every time the doors were open, like at least four nights a week, if not more.
She did say, you know, we went to church together, and she's right. Every time the doors were open, her family was there. Her family was part of several different ministries. Brookie was part of like the youth dance team in the church. Her stepdad was part of the audio video team. Like everybody had a role that they were fulfilling in the church. So even when services weren't happening, she was still at the church doing other things, whether that be ministry stuff or helping clean the church or help set up equipment. It didn't matter. We were there all the time. And it was just, you know, it was part of our life. Most people, you know, when they go out and think of going out and having fun with their friends, they think about going out to the movies or going bowling. But for us, it was going to church picnics or church yard sales or, oh, we're having a special service or we're having all these guys come in from out of town for a special service. So we need half the church to let these guys sleep in their house so they have somewhere to stay. Like, it was crazy. But go ahead, Brookie, keep talking.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're absolutely right. It's like, you know, I would have friends from school be like, you know, what do your plans look like this weekend or this week? And I was like, well, you can join me because I have this church event and this church event and like, you know, Wednesday night services, Thursday night dance practice, Friday night movie night with the church to raise funds. Saturday was more practice and things, Sunday morning and then Sunday evening services. And it's like every day of the week was something with church. And I didn't really have a life outside of that for so long, it seemed like. And I could even remember being a kid and 1 year of school, my bus route changed and dropped me off at church every day because my parents were just going to be there. So it
That's
was
wild. I didn't
my
know
life.
that they did that. That's
Yeah.
wild.
Yeah, like it was fully immersed.
And what's that saying? When I was growing up, we always prided ourselves that our babies cut their teeth on a church pew and literally used the end of the church pew as a gnawing place. There was like teeth marks.
Oh my
And it's just
gosh.
because you know how babies like chew and do stuff and put things in their mouth. But we were like, my baby cut his teeth on the church pews. And we were like so proud of that. But God, we didn't know, realize that we didn't get let out of church until 11 o'clock at night. We had to be up at by 7 to go to school. And every night of the week, it was church, 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 church. That was the essence of our lives.
Yeah, like as a mom now, it's crazy to think back to those days, 'cause when I think about it, I'm like, hey, it's a school night, so my son needs to be showered and in bed, by 8:30. And looking back when I was his age, it was sitting at church waiting to wrap up at 11 o'clock at night with school the next day. And that was okay though, because we're serving God, so you'll be okay with 6 or 7 hours of sleep for school the next day as a 7-year-old. And looking back, it's pretty wild that, us as kids in the church went through things like that. Whereas now as an adult, I'm like, no, like a child needs the full amount of sleep. They need to have good structure and not that chaos that it brought. It was crazy.
So, at what point did you begin to start questioning the things that you were being taught in church? And what were those things that you were questioning at that time?
I want to say it started pretty early, as probably a young teenager. As I got older and started having a little more freedom to participate in things after school and kind of have a say so and what I was allowed to do, I started playing sports and I started joining clubs at school and things, and I started having friends of other walks of life, and I started seeing these people who didn't exactly believe the way I did. And I still have some of those friends to this day, and we have conversations. And I'm like, how did you put up with me? Like, how did you put up with me constantly talking about Jesus and constantly talking about, like all of the things I did and trying to push all of my theology on you? And they're like, we saw through it. We saw through you. Like, we knew that there was something more there. And, I started questioning things early in my teenage years because I was like, man, like I've been told my whole life that these people are going to hell because they don't believe the exact way that I do. And that is what really made me start questioning, why would God damn this person who would give their life for me, who is a good friend to me, who they are kind and they're honest and they're genuine, and why are they damned to hell? Because they don't claim Jesus the same way I do. And it really just made me question everything, because we were always taught you have to go through these steps to be saved. And I just, as a young teenager, I was just like, man, I can't justify these things that I've been taught anymore. And obviously, growing up in the kind of structure that our church had, you did not question authority at all. It was very, very strict on that. Like, I remember the few times that I got in trouble at our church because I questioned these things. And I would, and that is, I feel like that is what spirituality is about. You're supposed to ask questions. You're supposed to try to think bigger and morph it into what it means to you. And
I
it
agree.
just,
I remember the similarities growing up. I would be like, why does everybody? I asked my mom, I was like, why does everybody have to be apostolic Pentecostal? I worked for this
Yeah.
family, this old man and woman, and they gave to the poor. They fed the hungry. They would like go out into the streets. I'm like, why? Explain to me why they are going to go to hell. And my mom said, how dare you question God, how dare
Yep.
you put these questions up before God? You need to make sure you repent. And I'm like, what did I do that I need to repent for? And my mom said, the problem with you is you ask too many questions.
Yes,
And I
yes.
will never forget that statement. And I after that, I stopped asking her questions because
Yeah.
it was so vile that I had even said, this elderly couple, there is no way they can go to hell, because I brought up the fact. I'm like, well, what about brother so and so? He's disgusting and he's a creep. What about sister so and so? They don't do anything good. And my mom was like, you talk about God's people. How dare you? And I was like,
Yep.
well, I was
We were
just calling
always
an apple tree
taught
an apple
how,
tree.
we weren't allowed to speak ill of the man of God, which means we can't challenge anything that the pastor says, even if he's saying shit that's behind that pulpit that is utterly harmful as crap, which he was on every time he got behind that thing. Okay. I mean, the last
Me
time I heard him
too,
preach
my
was at
prophet
my
to all.
mother-in-law's funeral, and I was sick listening to him because all he did was exploit her fears and pain that she had at the end of her life to try to get people saved at the gravesite. And I was just like, oh my God, like it hasn't changed. And he is the same man that I know several years ago. And now this was, 20 plus years ago, but there was a woman that was in our church that was being physically abused on a regular basis by her husband. And he told her that God hates divorce and that she should stay with that man. And I know that there are couples that have been underneath of him that have reconciled things that should have never been reconciled in the first place. Just be honest with you.
Just say it the way it is. I mean, it was like when I was growing up, it was like, why would we ever separate a family? Because then what will the wife do? What will the church do? They need the monies. It's not going to do any good just because he did this, and this. That was not reasons for divorce. God was absolutely against divorce. And I was the first person in our church that got a divorce. Obviously, I wasn't in the church when I finally did it, but the repercussions of me being a woman outside the covenant is more than most women being raised in indoctrination can process. Brooke, how would you describe your beliefs today? Would you say, I know that you're Wiccan, is that pagan? And something else, and how do you identify? What would you tell the listeners, who you are and how your beliefs are today? And how did you come up there? How did that evolve?
So I, like I said before, spirituality is so fluid and it can go so many different ways. And I really strongly like identify with the paganism and witchcraft part of like what I've found to be my spirituality. But honestly, I'm still learning a lot about what I believe, especially as far as like the afterlife and things go. But I have always had such a calling and a drawing towards like nature and just being outside and going through years of religious trauma therapy. My therapist always told me, she was like, where do you find peace at whenever you have those overwhelming feelings? And I told her, I was like, I just being outside. And so she is actually the one who introduced me to grounding and, being barefoot outside and just like listening to the wind and listening to the trees. And so I initially just started with grounding daily. And eventually, I started reading into like kitchen witchery and things like that, and infusing oils and herbs and stuff into your daily life. And I really, really identified with that. And I was like, what do you do when you're sick? You make a soup. And in a way, that is making an elixir, that is making a potion. And people don't realize that there is witchy things in your daily life.
Oh, every
And
day. And there's witchy things in the
creativity.
Bible too. I mean, we're going to be honest about it,
Yes.
but there are witchy things in the Bible. Jesus performed witchcraft to heal
Absolutely.
people. So, and if you are denying that, then you're denying the miracles of Christ, because you can't spit in dirt and heal a blind man without magic happening. I'm just saying.
And
You
let me
know,
tell you,
thank you.
every one of us know older women in our churches that had a cure, that had a remedy, that had something that was not medicine based. And we would go to them for ointments, for oils. And I'm like, she was our church witch.
She was.
She
She was
damned
because they were
right.
the
They were the
healers.
healers.
It's funny because one of the women who I love her so much, who has become like a part of my family and a part of my small little coven, she identifies herself as a Christian witch, and I absolutely love it because she still very much follows the teachings of Jesus, but she is right there with us when we are, meditating and we're lighting our spells and we're like speaking our intentions into the air. And that's why I say it a million times. Like I've come to find that, spirituality can go a million different ways and none of them are wrong.
Yes, and it's a personal journey. What fits for you may not fit for me. I mean, it's like food, okay? If we look at food, not everybody likes the same flavors of food or textures of food or whatever. And it's the same way with spirituality. You know, one flavor of spirituality may not fit me as an individual, but this other path might fit me perfectly and bring me peace and harmony. And that's where Christianity gets it wrong, because they like to curse all these other avenues to access God. So many different avenues. And it's like, my way is the only right way. But the problem is that way doesn't work for everybody. That way hurts a lot of people. That way causes a lot of trauma and PTSD. So, you know, if your way is completely out of that, then go where the peace is. That's all I tell people. Follow the peace, because being in a place like that isn't going to do you any good. You're not going to grow. You're not going to heal. You're not going to be a good person for yourself or the people you're in community with. So I love that. I love
And from the
that.
beginning of time, right? Burnt sacrifices, offerings up to a god to pay atonement for the sins that you've committed, or that you had a birth of a baby, or you had all the rituals that Christianity abides by since the beginning of the Bible. Come on. You cannot knock anybody else believing in being a pagan or worshiping other gods when their own Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the one who introduced us to most of rituals and meditation and things that go on. They just used it under the sanctuary of the church or the priest. Come on, they had high priest. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like you can just go down the list. Pagan is probably the most closest thing to Christianity that's out there.
I just,
My fault.
it's like that quote. It's like, the same heat that melts wax hardens clay. It's like not everybody has to fit into one specific thing. It's such a spectrum of spirituality. And I just wish more people would open up their minds and take a second to sit with that and realize the damage that trying to force your beliefs onto another person.
Conformity,
I mean, like the one thing I learned while being in that church was, Jesus speaks in parables to us because he wants us to take this and apply it to our lives. And that's why it's not so cut and dry and direct. It's that he wants us to interpret it and apply it to our life, but yet It was almost like hearing that, but then being told,
The
but the
opposite.
pastor interpreted it this way, so
Yes.
now you need to apply it.
Yes.
So
So you said that you have done religious trauma therapy, which is such a powerful step. And a lot of people don't understand what it takes to unpack religious trauma and abuse. So could you share with our listeners what some of the biggest breakthroughs or realizations you've had by doing that process?
absolutely. I started finding myself, like, after I left the church, I always found myself like thinking as soon as something bad would happen, it like in life, I mean, just a small inconvenience or, anything, it in my mind immediately went to, that's what you get for not being in a church. That's what you get for not, being
Yes.
under the teachings of a pastor. And then I would catch myself and I would be like, you were late for work by 15 minutes today. Like, or just something so minor. I was like, why are you thinking this way? And then, what really, really pushed me, which I was already in therapy, but, my therapist was the one who actually recommended it to me when I was telling her, that I had multiple times where my son, when we would be at home, and babies, they love to play,
Yeah.
they love to hide, and he would always play like a joke on me, and he would run and he would hide, but like eventually I could not find him. And he would be curled up under a table somewhere, or hiding in his closet. But it's crazy because hide and seek started turning into fear for me, because my brain immediately went to the rapture happened and
Oh,
he's gone
wow.
and I'm left
Oh.
here. And I told my therapist, I was like, I need something to change. I was like, because the second that one of my family members don't pick up their phone, or the second I can't find my son, I'm like, my brain immediately goes to, you're left behind, check the news, like, people are going to be missing. And it broke my heart, because I was like, man, I should be able to play hide and seek with my son without the fear of just
Wow.
him disappearing.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, that's not normal. She was like, you should
Yeah.
not feel, she was like, you should not feel that way. So I was like, yeah, okay. So I've done religious trauma therapy for like 2.5, 3 years now. And I'm so much better. Like, I won't say that I'm like 100%, but I am so much better. Like, I am fully, I don't, when my son doesn't answer when I call his name, I take a breath and I'm like, he's just being a turd today. He's not gone. He's not gone. Like, it's okay. He's just hiding
Oh my
somewhere.
gosh, yes.
And so, yeah, like it's been a crazy journey to see the things that we have been scared into believing,
Yes.
because I think what really started that whole fear of the rapture for me was in our youth group one time. And this is the type of emotional and psychological like manipulation that the church does to you, is that one time in youth group, we were told, hey, everybody bring a change of clothes tonight. And so we did. And we were told to change out of the clothes we were wearing and leave those piled up in the floor somewhere, and everybody go outside. And we didn't really know what, but the youth leaders of our youth group were trying to make a point to someone that they thought were on the wrong path. And we were told to leave our clothes in piles around the floor. And so when that person came out of the bathroom and they saw those clothes, you've always been told, you know, when the rapture happens that you're just gonna,
Yes.
your body's gonna disappear and your things are just gonna fall.
Yeah. Be
And they
completely
made
naked in the skies.
and
Just.
they made this poor girl believe that the rapture had happened and taken all of us, and she was left.
That
And
is
I
wild.
remember hearing her like screaming and being terrified.
Wow.
And her family left the church after that.
Well, doesn't surprise
But
me.
as they should
Should
have.
not. Yeah,
But
should not.
I remember hearing from our leaders, they were like, that is what happens though, if you
Yeah.
stray.
Yep.
If you have just happened to step away from God when the rapture happens, you're going to be left behind.
Yeah. Actually read a story on Reddit
Oh, that's
yesterday. Yeah, I was on Reddit. And it was in the deconstruction
really.
group, the ex-evangelical group that's there. And it was somebody telling their story from youth group. And they said that our youth leaders literally dressed up in all black ski masks and everything, kidnapped the entire youth group, threw us all in a van, took us into the middle of the woods somewhere, and this was all to simulate the rapture happening and to basically scare the crap out of us so we wouldn't stray from, God's teachings. And I was like, that is so atrocious. Like, you're freaking simulating a kidnapping. And these people are like, yeah, some people still have PTSD from it to
Yeah.
this day because they're literally simulating something so serious. And they had guns and everything, they said. Like, it wasn't like, and I was like, these churches are going too far. Like, they are really, it's wild. They need
The
some supervisors or something.
amount of fear and manipulation that they do to us as little kids and young
Kids.
children stays with us. Like I like there's things that happened in my young adult life, like 17 or 18, that only happen when I like smell something, you know, and it'll trigger something. But let me tell you what, the fear of God was put in me. My mama used to say, you will fear man, you will fear me, and you will fear God. And I have to tell you, the amount of fear that was instilled into me still haunts me to this day, even through trauma, being in trauma therapy. I'm like, and my therapist was like, we probably are going to work on that phrase. And I'm like, oh shit. Can we try another one? Not
I
that
always
one.
wonder at what point did we go from here's the love of Jesus to let's traumatize children
Yeah.
into believing this.
It's like when,
Like,
we sung those songs like I'm in the Lord's army, right? We're singing this as little kids, but who are our enemies? Because Jesus said we were supposed to have none. So why are they training us up as little soldiers? Who are we supposed to be fighting? We're not supposed to be fighting anybody. We're supposed to be loving the hell out of people, not killing them. Like, what
See,
the
that's
heck?
I was having a conversation with someone the other day, and I was like, man, you hear so much like violence and things towards our enemies, but I was like, if I could imagine sitting with Jesus in a crowd when he talked, my brain immediately goes to he probably was so soft-spoken. He didn't have to scream for people to listen to him. I'm sure that when he spoke, people probably just sat and listened. And I'm like, I wish that people would realize if you speak with kindness, you don't have to scream and try to get your point across and push it and push it and push it. If you like I learned with my child, I was like, you know, if it's a loud environment, he shuts down and he but what's crazy is they tell you and like I've read things when it comes to parenting and whenever children are, you know, running crazy and you need them to listen, you get down and you get on their level and you
Yeah.
look at them and you speak quietly. And when I tell you, like reading that has changed the way I parent because I don't yell like, hey, I told you to clean up your room. Hey, I told you to pick up your clothes. I get down and I look at him in his eyes and I'm like, hey,
Yeah.
I ask you to do this. I need you to do this. And it works 10 times better. And I just, if you're trying to get a message to people about God's love, then quieten your voice and show it in a calm manner.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say one thing else for all of those parents out there. When your child is acting absolutely the ugliest, don't discipline them, hug them. Their nervous system is out of
Yep.
sync. And if you give that baby a hug, you'll feel their whole body trembling. And you just hold them until they calm down. That has worked so much better than the way my parents did it by, spoil the child, spare the rod, spoil the child, is that when I
Yes.
got down to their knees or got down on the floor, grabbed them and just hugged them and said, "I'm just going to hug you. I know you're having it rough."
So true, so
But
true.
churches don't teach that.
I know. That's so true. And that's the thing with our son. Like he is so, I mean, I know everyone says it, but he is the most amazing, kind, gentle-hearted child. And I feel like us taking that time to be gentle with him, which is a complete opposite of my childhood, because we were very much so, you did something wrong, grab the belt, and
A switch, a
I,
spoon, a shoe.
was, yes, like, and you brought back the wrong size switch, you had to go back again,
Yes, gosh.
And God forbid if you brought the wrong weeping willow off the branch, you would have to go back out and get a better one.
My dad didn't use it. I never had to deal with the switches, but he had a paddle and belts, and that's what he would beat us with, like all the time. Like, and I can still vividly recall just sitting there begging him not to hit me, begging him, "Daddy, please don't." Or while he's doing it, "Daddy, please stop." And that belt is going across my buttocks, across the middle of my back, like everywhere, because I was wiggling around, and they didn't care. They'd hit you wherever they could. They did not care.
And
It was
the other
so
thing is
violent.
that people don't sometimes talk about this, but we were forced to put our switches in water and soak them
Wow.
because they
Oh my
did the
God.
job better.
Wow.
Oh.
This is so disgusting.
It is. That is so wretched.
So, Brooke, how did your family respond when you told them, and tell us about that journey of explaining to, I assume, so please clarify for me, that they're still in the church, or some of them are still in the church. What happened on that journey?
Yeah. So, my parents, I want to say either 15 or 16 years old. And my parents made a very abrupt life change and completely withdrew from the church. They stepped out, and I had just become a youth leader in our youth group. So I stayed and they left. And I only stayed for about a year before I left because my parents were making some choices that were a bit extreme on the other side. And it quit becoming about people. I felt like I wasn't seen. When I would come to church and I was expected to lead and I was expected to have like discipleship with my assigned girls in the youth, I would be in these meetings and being, told things, and it quit becoming, "Hey Brooke, like how are you?" It started becoming, "Hey Brooke, are your parents like, what are they doing?" Like, and it became like prayer disguises gossip, and it quit, or gossip disguises prayers, but
Yep.
it quit
Being about
being,
you, and it became about
yes.
them. They just wanted to know about what was going on with them instead of pouring into you and seeing you grow. That's wild.
And so I was 17 when I officially completely withdrew from that church and stepped out. And it was such a culture shock because at that point I was an adult. I was basically responsible for myself. I moved out with my child's father at the time, 17, trying to figure this out, graduated high school at 17, and I was like, man, everything I've ever known, all of the community that I've had my entire life is gone. It was scary. And I mean, so my parents eventually made their way back, and they attend church now. And one of my siblings attend church with them, and they fully immerse themselves into a different church now. So we definitely have a distance when it comes to certain things, because when they found out the path that I was following, it became, constant conversations of, I'm just so sad because you're going to hell. And so, there's a definite distance there now. But it's crazy because, like, having I tell my husband all the time, I'm like, I look back and I wish I could give 17-year-old me a hug and be like, just wait, because all of those people that you were so sad you lost, you're about to get 10 times the amount of friendship and love in just a small select group of people.
And
I mean, we
it's more
have
genuine support too. It's like the people that you come into, once you have
yes.
deconstructed, it's more genuine support because they don't have their own agendas leading the way. They have what's best for you leading the way instead. And it's so different to be in relationship with people that are outside of the church, because when you're inside of it, all they have is what they interpret the Bible to be, and that's what you should fit that model of, you know? So if your life is taking you in a different direction in any way, they don't know how to encourage you in that. They really don't, because they only know how to encourage you in what it is that they know about that book. And I
Exactly.
really do
Yes.
think that beautiful community is so much more beautiful and so much more rich outside of the church, because so many more people outside of it have self-awareness. And that makes such a big difference in how they can show up in community with other people. So I love that.
And I have to say, so do I, because I have learned over my years that since I've started speaking out, that we are harmed within the context of relationships, and we find healing within context of relationships. And because we can absolutely choose and pick who is good for us in our community, we don't have to go to brother so and so, who we don't want him laying hands on us in any way, shape, form, or fashion. We don't have to go to sister so and so, who we know is only praying for us to get the good gossip and make sure everybody knows. And that the people who are standing in safe places and holding those safe places for us mean so much more to me today than anybody that I had to walk away from all those years ago.
Absolutely.
So, how did the indoctrination affect you mentally and emotionally growing up? And do you find your new path and your new belief system able to help you deconstruct those thoughts and that what you were once taught?
I mean, obviously growing up in that environment, like I said, I felt like I was always looking over my shoulder, always scared of every move I was gonna make, and I knew I was gonna disappoint God. I just, I felt like I was constantly failing. And, getting into adulthood, it's like, how do I break that feeling of I know I've been taught my whole life that I was born wretched. I know I'm gonna fail. I know I'm gonna like never be good enough. And how often do I need to ask forgiveness for just existing? Like, I mean, but as I grow and as I really get more into Wicca and paganism and things, I'm starting to give myself grace for living for the first time, and I'm starting to give myself grace for, like messing up, and it's okay, and knowing that like sometimes the messy things can be beautiful, and knowing that, I don't have to be perfect to still be of value. And that's the thing is, when you mess up in the church, that people are told, hey, do not associate with them until they ask forgiveness and change their ways, versus the community that I've found now. I mean, I can show up a complete wreck and a mess, and I know that they're gonna love me as I am and accept me as I am. And to have people now who they've heard the bad stuff, they've heard the mistakes I've made, they've heard the deepest, darkest parts of life, and still be like, I love you and I
Right.
accept you. And it's been such a radical change for me. And it creates such a deeper bond to know with people that to know that they accept every part of you and don't just see you as a
Yes.
wretched from birth
Yes.
person.
That's so important. Oh my gosh. And I am just a little jealous sitting here right now because she's so young and she's learned that lesson oh so well. I feel like she's speaking wisdom and life into me as I still struggle and I'm still deconstructing the word perfection and
Yes.
making sure that I show up perfect and making sure I leave the house perfect and making sure that every move that I make and what I say out of my mouth is always, with a positive, mantra. You know what I'm saying? It's like, God, I love when youth comes on here and they've like already have experienced and are walking their truths. Thank you,
Yeah,
Brooke.
because she didn't have to be in her 40s or 50s where she can say, hey, I'm pretty cool. I love myself. She's got it way before we did, and that's awesome.
I'm double nickels and I'm sitting here going, damn. She is a lucky, lucky bitch. You can extend that.
No,
I am so proud of
I
you.
thank you. I am so like I'm so thankful that it all happened as early as it did. It's just,
Yes.
and it's crazy because I tell my husband all the time, I'm like, I honestly feel like my son was what saved me. I feel like seeing him. And I've seen Heather talk about it too, like with her grandchildren, like or her grandson, like you see that baby and you're like, they're not wretched, they're
He's
not
perfect.
like
Yeah.
they're not born like already stained,
Yeah.
like they are beautiful works of art that we are lucky enough to sit back and watch live life for the first time too. And with my son, I immediately knew. I mean, I
Yeah.
was young. I was 18, and I knew the second I saw him. I was like, it's my job to make sure that he doesn't grow up feeling like he is not enough,
Exactly.
constantly hearing.
And you're right, because when my grandson was born, like I had already started deconstructing, okay, and I was really deep into my deconstruction process. But when he came along, oh my God, I took one look at that baby and I was like, you rotten bastards. That's what I thought to myself immediately. How could you ever convince me that a baby is broken, that they're damaged, that they're inherently sinful? Because I saw that baby and I saw perfection. Nothing but, even now, he can be raising hell, tearing up stuff through my house. He is perfect. He is beautiful. He's just a baby. But I'm just like, how? And they're still doing it. I mean, we even have the Catholics out here that will literally say that a baby will go to hell if it hasn't been baptized before it dies. And I'm like, that's just insanity because, again, a baby is absolutely perfect, the most precious thing. And the church immediately devalues it, takes away the value, and diminishes their worth. And that's what I felt. For 36 years, my worth was diminished. I felt like crap about myself. I hated myself. But it's because of those ideas that they put into us from the time that we're young, that we are born wretched, that nothing that we could do would ever be good, because you're not saved through works. I heard that so much. So you can go out and do all the good works that you want to do, but that's not going to save you. No wonder why Christians don't do shit to help their neighbors, because they don't think that that's going to help their salvation at all. Like, come on, it's crazy.
And I was always told we were born into sin and iniquity.
Yeah.
And when I
Yes.
look at my babies, and then I looked at my grandbabies, right? I'm like, there is no way they were born into sin and iniquity. How low can you go at looking at that precious little face and that little soul with all their mischievousness and think they
It's like
were the son of
adults
Cain or the
bullying
son of
babies.
Abel, or
Like,
which one do they belong
yes.
to?
Like, we got grown ass adults out here bullying babies. In the name of God, Jesus saves. Anyhow. So, Brooke, I want to tell you, we're getting ready to, wind up here at the end. And, you're out of the church now. You have your own little coven with your friends and you're practicing your own spirituality. If you had any words of advice or encouragement for our listeners today that may be struggling with their religious beliefs and really don't know where to turn or what to do, what kind of advice would you give them today?
I will say number one, therapy has helped me so much. I know that it can sometimes be scary speaking to a stranger about your feelings, but getting an outsider's perspective on some things you can be questioning is extremely helpful. And also, just take a moment and quit looking at the world through your church or your pastor or whoever you're under. Quit looking at the world through their eyes and start looking at the world through your own. And through, if you follow Jesus, if you follow, Buddha, if you, whoever you follow, start really looking at what their message is, and not the message that your leader is telling you, what their message is, and start looking at the
Yes,
world through
so
those
true.
eyes with love. And take a second and just really sit with, like, what are my personal foundations? What are my beliefs? And have courage to leave if you feel like something's wrong. And just know that for everything you lose, you're going to get back 10 times.
Yes, that is
So.
so important because, when we walk away from these religious institutions and these spaces, we do lose a lot. And that's what, a lot of people don't understand. They will often say, "Oh, you're just leaving the church, you can sin more." Honey, I wouldn't have lost my entire community and half my family just to sin. I'm just saying. If I wanted to sin, I'd have just kept going to church and acting like everybody else does every Sunday. Like, just to be for real. That's not what we ask for.
Preach.
So, it is so hard and it does take a lot of courage to leave. But the reality is the healing that you gain, the freedom that you gain, the relationships that you gain are so much greater than what you ever lost in the first place.
And I am such a better person today as a feral atheist than I ever was one day in the church that I was raised in. I can't tell you how grateful I am that they did shun me and push me away, because I am so much kinder, so much more grace, dignity to the other person, non-judgmental. And I would have never been who I am today if I would have stayed.
Same for
I
me.
completely agree with that.
I was not a good person when I was
No.
part of the church. I was the bigot. I was, horrible. And there was so much that I didn't know about the world around me. And it's crazy too, because as I look back on it, I didn't even have the language at the time to describe some of the things that I was experiencing or going through because I didn't even know what it was. And that is another thing that bothers me so bad to this day, because the first time that I was sexually abused, I was 8 years old. I didn't have the language for that. I didn't know what was occurring to me when it was occurring because my parents never taught me about sex because they were too afraid to. So the whole time it was occurring, I didn't know I was being raped. And this is the reality about being in these spaces. They only equip you with what it is they want you to know. And that is so dangerous for you because that leaves you a target for people that know more but know how to victimize. And
And
it's
even people
scary.
outside the church, I mean, it leaves you vulnerable. I'll never forget when I first left at 26, I realized when I stepped out into the real world how much I didn't know
You
about the
don't know.
world I was expected to live in. I didn't know. I didn't know how to do simple things, you guys. I did not know how to even apply or how to go through, a banking account or a checkbook or just like simple life skills. I was gone. It was not there. And then trying to teach yourself at a later age, not even let's talk about marginal communities, the LGBTQIA. Brooke, I would never be sitting here today, experience this wonderful conversation with you. I would not be allowed to have it because you were not a tongue-talking, holy roller, born-again believer in the liberated power of Jesus' name girl. It would not be allowed. I would not
I
be able to
completely agree with
experience life as I experience and appreciate every journey of life.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree. Like, it's crazy because I'll see memories pop up from, I mean, I had a Facebook account at like 12 years old. So I'll see memories pop up from 15 years
Yes.
ago. And I've shared things as a child that I was being taught about,
Yes.
like it's not like man and man, it's man and woman, and God has, things like that. And I look back at that and I'm like, wow, okay, not me now married to a trans man and like a huge advocate, now a huge advocate for the LGBTQ, and like, all of my friends are queer in some aspect. And it's crazy because I would not have the community I have today. I would not have the family I have today. And I would not be able to be there for people who constantly confide in me. And I would not have, like you said earlier, I would not have the grace and the love and the compassion that I have for people today, if it weren't for this deconstruction.
Exactly. And I have to tell you that my church, this is like the most disgusting thing that I like sometimes remember. They used the scripture, "What business does light have with darkness?" for interracial relationships
Oh
and
my
marriages.
gosh, wow, that is so bad.
That is what I was taught.
Whoa.
And so when I left, it would be like, how did they come up with that? And I was like,
Wow.
but they're like, oh, well, we believe the literal word of God. And I'm like, that didn't even have anything to do with the indoctrination that you put behind that scripture. And I find myself like so disgusted that it's like, my God, I believed it.
Yeah,
Not
I
only did they
actually just
teach it, I
wrong.
believed it and repeated it to people.
Yeah, I was actually having a conversation with somebody the other day that was telling me about their granddaddy, okay? And he was part of one of those old holy roller churches, and he took the Bible literally. Well, he ended up cheating on his wife twice, and this man literally plucked out both of his own eyeballs and blinded himself because he took the Bible so literally that he plucked out his own eyeballs for lust. And you know what? She said that my grandma stayed with him, but they were poor for the rest of their lives because he couldn't get a real job because he was blind. Jesus. Like, I mean, it was bad. But
But it
this is, you know,
happens.
you can take it to that extreme as well,
Right.
right? And it's crazy. It is absolutely psychotic when you really look at the doctrines and how they literally mentally and emotionally destroy people from birth. Like that's what they do. They tear you down and then they try to rebuild you up in some really screwed up way where you're not even a normal human. You're not. We are in community with these people that have no compassion, have no empathy. They don't care about what happens to you because if you're a sinner, well, then you're worthy of hellfire and they don't have to worry about you. And it's just crazy. Like deconstruction really has, helped me to be able to see the humanity in other people, even if they don't believe like me, even if they don't show up in the world like I do. Because at the end of the day, we're all humans and we're all a product of what it is that we've been through, what we've been experiencing, what we've been exposed to. And I hate it for you, but religious indoctrination really messes people up bad. It just
Oh,
does.
100%. And the other thing is too, is that I guarantee you that there are people that are part of that grandpapa's church that are still preaching and testifying and cheering him on for what he did because he was not able to keep himself under check.
Exactly. It's crazy. Like,
Blow my mind. Once upon a time I understood. I would have been one of the little girls testifying, going, my granddaddy could not like stay, keep himself. So he plucked his eyes out and did just what Jesus said. I would be one to repeat those words.
yeah.
And I can't even say them
Oh
out
my
loud now
God.
because it sounds so disgusting. Like stuttering. I'm trying to get it out, but it's like, and then they would probably go speaking in tongues and shouting all over the church and having tongues and interpretation because granddaddy plucked his eyeballs out.
Listen, she showed me a picture of him and everything because I didn't believe her. I was like, "You're lying. This isn't true." She showed me his picture. Yeah, like it was true.
I love
I was
him.
like, I couldn't believe it.
Oh,
People are wild. Like, I'm telling you, don't take it too far. Don't do
my
it.
As I know, those churches are still out there in the backwoods of Tennessee, West Palm Beach, Florida. They
I'm
still
not
believe
going blind for Jesus.
that
I'm telling you that.
and just throw in a couple snakes, we'll all be good.
Oh my
Well, Brooke, we really are grateful that you have sat down to speak with us this week and share your story with us, and me especially, because it's just so special having somebody here that, is part of my past, and that has experienced some of the things that I've
Yeah.
experienced firsthand. Because, it's kind of cool, having somebody else that came from the same space and said, "Hey, she's not actually lying. It was crazy there,
Yeah, you know what? Brooke, I have to tell you, until you came on today, I was kind of questioning. No, I'm kidding.
This is the judgment-free zone, everybody. You get to come on this show and just
Listen and we
be
don't
yourself.
judge.
Yes, we listen
Even the
and we.
co-hosts, we listen and we don't judge amongst each other either.
Yes. So, again, thank you so much for being here. And to all of our listeners, thank you for joining us again this week. We really enjoy elevating the stories of how it is that people survived religious trauma and abuse. If you guys like this show, please hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. We put out a new show every Wednesday. And if you're ever interested in being a guest on the show, please email us at theawakeningpod@gmail.com.
And Brooke, I want to say thank you for coming on. And I hope as you help others by sharing your story, that you also gain community by knowing that I know you know Heather's here, but you know that I'm here, and that you actually receive and continue your journey of growth and community as you talk about your story today. It was absolutely fantastic. And thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you guys for having me.
You are welcome.
The preceding podcast is solely owned by its host or hosts and is distributed by Big Media LLC. Copyright 2025, all rights reserved.